And in particular,
recording in progress.
In particular, he tells us something that we should be remembering. Remember the prisoners. Remember the prisoners. Don't just, well, think about their situation. No, remember them, their people. Remember the prisoners as though in prison with them. You know, the mark of an individual when he or she begins to really mature, this person has the ability to put themselves in another person's shoes. Little kids really don't have much capacity for that. But when a person begins to mature, they can go, wow, what must that be like to be in their situation? As though in prison with them and those who are ill-treated. So two broad categories of people for whom we are to pray. Those who are in prison, and there are many who are not necessarily in prison, but they are ill-treated today in many different forms. So I realized what that was. The video started to play. I was supposed to let that play before I got up. That's okay. Appreciate your patience back there, Ethan. We'll go ahead and play that when I'm done sharing this verse, all right? So thank you. My bad. But two broad categories, those in prison and then those who are ill-treated. When we lived in Poland, there was a kind of what you might call soft persecution of evangelical Christians. Often what would happen in a locale, in a town, let's say the small group of evangelicals, they want to show an evangelistic movie, and so they advertise for it around town, and they rent a public building, maybe they rent some space in a school building, and the city father, town fathers realize, oh, this is maybe not conventional here. What is this religious group? They aren't Catholics, so they go to the local priest and say, what, is this group okay? And the priest might say, well, you know, they're really not our kind of people. So then the believers would go to rent this space, and there would be a sign in the door saying, closed for remodeling. Well, there's no remodeling going on. It was just a power play to keep Christians from preaching the gospel of the grace of God in Christ. And so in the culture in which we lived, evangelicals were often scorned as cult followers, and they really were in so many ways rejected. So we're not only praying for those in prison, but those who are ill-treated, as you yourselves also are in the body. As you yourselves, you're in the body. There are two ways to look at this in the body phrase. Is the writer of Hebrews referencing the fact, hey, we're all in the body of Christ? It very well could be for us to simply appreciate and realize, look, we are members of one another. A few minutes ago, you recited the Apostles' Creed, in which we said we believe in the Catholic Church, small c, Catholic meaning universal. We believe that throughout the world, God's people, even though most of them don't know each other, they're all members of the Church Universal by virtue of the fact that they are in Christ. And those people, what's the next phrase that you and I stated? We believe in the communion of the saints. That is to say, we believe that all of God's people, all the saints, not just like the people with halos that did miracles, that kind of saintology is not biblical, in my opinion. Saints in the true New Testament sense of those people who are members of the kingdom and part of God's household. We believe that we share in a communion together. So those people suffering today in these different countries are so very much your brothers and your sisters. And so we're encouraged to think of them as such. One other passage before we get to let's go ahead and watch the video now, because I'll keep talking. All right, let the video roll, and then I've got one other thing to say.
Many around the world experience hostility because of their identification with Christ. They face immense pressure and sometimes violence. They encounter hostile attitudes, words, and actions. Out of 2.5 billion Christians, the 2022 World Watch List reports that 360 million Christians around the world face high levels of persecution and discrimination because of their faith in Jesus Christ. That's one in every seven Christians worldwide. One in seven Christians are threatened, shunned, imprisoned, displaced, abducted or beaten. Some are pressured to convert. Some cannot possess religious materials. Some must hide their faith from their families. Some are driven from their homes. Some lose access to education or jobs. Some cannot legally identify as Christian. Their churches are raided, closed, or destroyed. Our persecuted brothers and sisters in Christ live this reality every day, all because they refuse to deny the name of the one who died for them, the one who died to save all of us. The 2022 report reveals that persecution of Christians has reached the highest level since the World Watch List began, nearly 30 years ago. The severity of persecution and violence against Christians is not abating. There has been violence from extremist groups, military coups, political unrest, kidnappings, and forced marriage. Many have become refugees seeking safety, and many have uncertain futures. Yet we see God at work. We see perseverance in the face of adversity. We see persecuted Christians holding on to faith under severe threat and where faith costs the most. We are inspired by their faith and courage, committed to support and stand with them as one global body of Christ. Our vision is that no Christian suffers persecution alone. Join us.
Okay, I'll mention that World Watch List here in just a minute, but one other scripture, Acts 17, the Apostle Paul is on Mars Hill, and he is speaking to a group of philosophers, and he says in verse 24, "The God who made the world and all things in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all people life and breath and all things. And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined their appointed times and the boundaries of their habitation." So when you look at a map with these squiggly lines, of course, you look at a picture of the globe, those lines aren't there, but if you look at a map, there are squiggly lines. There are geopolitical boundaries that human beings have set, but Paul's saying that God in his sovereignty allowed these boundaries to exist so that various people would be in situations to give them opportunities to seek God and find God. So what we're going to do is I've invited eight different people. I have assigned them some prayer categories to lead us. But before we have them come up and pray, I want to give you an opportunity to participate in several ways. It occurred to me the other day that the Apostle Paul wrote to the Philippians that from time to time he would mention them in his prayers. Now, it's a curious word to me, mention. It's the idea, I get the idea that Paul maybe didn't go on and on and on and on and on about the Philippians, but at least he brought them before the Lord by mentioning them. And so what I decided to do this year is I took this 2022 World Watch List of the 50 most egregious persecuting countries, persecution of Christian countries, and I made up 50 sheets of paper, and I gave some very basic details. I'm holding the one for Afghanistan, and it says Afghanistan and the region is Asia. The main religion is Islam. It gives the population, the estimate number of believers, and this is below 1%. The source of persecution, Islamic oppression, and the persecution level, Afghanistan is listed as extreme. But we're not going to get into all those details this morning. The only detail I would like you to help with, if you're willing, no one's going to be pushed upon to do this, but what I need this morning is 50 people who are willing to stand and say one word, the name of the country on the sheet that you're holding. That clear? So pretty doable, but again, you, for whatever reason, you might not feel comfortable doing this. I'm going to pray kind of a kickoff, launch it sort of prayer. in which I say, Lord, we're bringing before you the believers in these countries. And then we're going to hear Afghanistan, Algeria, Malaysia, Brunei. There's just something, I think there's something powerful about stating those geopolitical areas around which there are boundaries that Paul says God allowed to take place. You, if you're in Christ this morning, you are a priest. And the high priest, one of his roles in the Old Testament was to, when he was ministering before the Lord, he would wear this thing called an ephod, which I understand was kind of a vest or kind of a jacket thing. And in that ephod were sewn, I forget if they were stones or plates of some kind, with the names of the tribes of Israel inscribed upon them. So the idea was when he came before the Lord, he was interceding, he was bringing before the Lord specific names of specific tribes. And we have an opportunity this morning to bring before the Lord as his priests, Christians that live in specific places. So without further ado, if you're willing to stand and state the name of a particular country here in a few minutes, raise your hand. Jeff and someone else are going to help him to quickly. I need 50 people, so look around. I don't have 50 hands yet. I need at least 50. Some people might have to do double duty if we don't get an entire 50. So pass them out quickly, maybe get some more help so we can do this quickly. I still see some hands. I've got one here. I've got Afghanistan that I'll give to someone if we have another hand up. Okay, do we have all 50 sheets passed out? Yeah? No? Still have a few remaining. Anyone else? Couple more hands here. All right. Very good. How many do we have left? I can do one if we have one left. Here's a hand. Here's a hand. There's one right there. Thank you. All right. Someone can do two. That's allowed as well. Okay, is it clear what we're doing here? It's not. There's another hand. I see that hand. Okay. Okay, if you're holding a sheet, please stand. And Kathy, I think you're the first person. No, Bill was the first person praying. So Bill, why don't you come on up here? And I'm going to sort of kick us off here. And when I kind of give you the cue, let's start here on your right, my left with Pam. And I don't want you to wax eloquent on anything, okay? I just want you to say the name of the country on the sheet, which is in the box, it's on the left side on the sheet you're holding. And I want you to say it good and loud so everyone can hear. And we're just going to go straight across this front row. And so then we're going to get to Eric right there, and then we'll go along that second row, and we'll get to Graham, and then we'll bounce over there. Maybe Linda, do you have one? Or Sherry's got one? Okay. And then we'll just go, see, we'll just go right along the third and back and forth, zigzagging until we've mentioned before the Lord the names of these 50 countries in which reside believers who are suffering today. What a privilege this is, isn't it? So I'll kick us off, and then we'll go through and name the various countries, and then Bill, you just come right up to the mic after that. And so, and I guess maybe I didn't say this, what I also want you to do, you can sit down, by the way, after you say the name of your country, sit down. And while these various categories are being prayed for, what I want you to do is silently in your heart saying, Lord, yes, I agree with this prayer, and I'm holding Oman. So I'm going to be, as Bill's praying, I'm going to say, yes, Lord, I agree with my brother Bill for these particular things for the believers in Oman. Okay? So in your heart and in your mind, silently, you are interceding for the believers in the country whose sheet you're holding. All right? Okay. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for making us priests to you. Because of the blood of Jesus, we have entree into the Holy of Holies, as it were, to intercede. Thank you for the privilege of interceding for our brothers and sisters. We are members of them, Lord. We know that. We share a certain communion with those saints. And so, Lord, right now we want to mention and bring before you these specific countries. And we know, Lord, that you look down and you see every country, you see every person. And we trust you, Lord, that as we mention these different countries, that you will take notice of them and hear our prayers as we intercede. So, Lord, we intercede now for the following countries.
Oman,
Mexico,
the Democratic Republic of the Congo,
and Libya. My name is Bill Johnston. I've been asked to pray against fear and for boldness in witness. Dear Almighty God and Savior Jesus, sitting at the right hand of the Father, I recall your words that many times you asked us not to fear. Do not be afraid. As you were on this earth to provide payment for the sin of the world, a payment that you made in full, I am grateful for your offer to pay for my sin. I thank you for your guidance as I take your message of reconciliation in this country first, as it leads to the wonderful spiritual conversations. But yes, it also leads to rejection and even verbal attacks. And for me, they have been unscathing, physically, totally acceptable to me. And I've never regretted any one of them. So I thank you for those many opportunities that you have given me to take your message of love and patience to others. But my prayer is against fear, that is for courage, and for boldness in witness for those living in countries where Christians are being persecuted. God, I ask you to protect the ambassadors in these countries and even societies within these different countries that are well known for your persecution. As I see within these levels of persecution, it varies from extreme. And the people who share your love there, dear God, know exactly what it is that they are facing if they are to be persecuted in all sorts of ways. So I ask that you give all believers in these countries the wisdom to know how and when to act in sharing your love with others. And I ask that those who are the verbal ambassadors be given the right words to explain your patience and love, and that you fight back the fears that they have, and that you give them boldness that they can provide your witness, your story of love, your story of patience. Give them true boldness that they can do this in true love, such as you have shown to each one of us. I ask this in the name of our Lord and Jesus. Amen.
Let's pray for the families, the children, the spouses of loved ones who've been killed, injured, imprisoned, or discriminated against. Lord, we are praying for your people who are persecuted. These are our brothers and sisters who have had dreams and desires just as I've had. And yet, Lord, their persecution has come in many forms, and our hearts weep with those who weep. Lord, they've been beaten, ridiculed, ostracized even from their own family members or from their community. They've been imprisoned, violated, kidnapped, and just disappear. Lord, they're victims of targeted attacks, harassment, extortion, and murder. Job opportunities are few. Lack of money sometimes means a lack of food. Yet, Lord, your word says that you feed the birds of the air and that your people are much more valuable. You know what our brothers and sisters need even before they ask. So, Lord, I pray that you would provide for them. Lord, I also pray for physical healing, those who have been injured. I pray that you would open hospitals in the compassion of doctors to touch their bodies. And Lord, if they are rejected from this kind of care, Lord, heal their bodies. We've read that you touched many when you were here on earth, and you continue to do miracles and healings today. So Lord, let it be that you would touch our brothers and sisters. Lord, I lift up our persecuted family, and I pray for their mental and spiritual and physical, and emotional healing, that there's so much trauma from the long-term effects of war, the tension of not knowing when to flee and where to go, the need for daily provision, the pain of their family and their friends' rejection, and the deep grief from the loss of a loved one. Lord, when for many the wounds are so big and so deep that there's difficulty in healing and a desperate need for hope, Lord, you are their hope. You are our hope. Just fill them with your hope and bring the healing that they need. Lord, bring the counseling and aid that would also be provided, that they would know they're not the only ones. Lord, I pray that you would protect families from harm, direct their steps to safety, and comfort them in times of despair. May you be their peace when they're anxious, be their courage when they're fearful. And Lord, may they walk by the Spirit. Oh, Holy Spirit, surround them, speak to them, go before them and behind them, be beside them. And Lord, they've been affected by having seen or having loved ones killed or injured, imprisoned. Lord, help them to extend forgiveness. Teach them how. Man. Help them to be an example of your love. Work on their character. Lord, we pray that they would have teachings and trainings that prepare them during this time. Raise up the next generation to love and serve you with all their hearts, souls, mind, and strength. Protect the children, Lord God. What they've seen, what they've experienced, the loss of a parent or sibling. And Lord, they too are intimidated or harassed and even face kidnapping and death. Lord, I pray that the peace that passes all understanding surround the families who are experiencing persecution. Lord, give them endurance. And when they are reviled, may they bless. Lord, your word says that if they dwell in the shelter of the Most High, they will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. May they say to the Lord, you are my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. You are the one who delivers them from the snare of the trapper and from the deadly pestilence. Lord, cover them with your pinions, and under your wings may they seek refuge. Your faithfulness is a shield and bulwark. Lord, I thank you for our brothers and sisters. In Jesus' name, amen.
We'll be praying that the persecuted, our brothers and sisters persecuted, would love their enemies and forgive them. I thought it might be helpful to read three very short sections of scripture and then pray based on those scriptures. So I'll just briefly stop praying and read the scripture and then continue. Just so you understand what's happening. So in Luke 6, but I say to you, Jesus says, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who are abusive to you. And so, Lord, we pray that you personally, by your Spirit, will speak to your children, leading them to determine from the outset that they will love those who have become their enemies without cause. To resist the deep-seated urge to respond to curses with curses in return. To seek the good of their persecutors and abusers, even as those abusive actions are unfolding. For many of these, your redeemed children, this will be the hardest thing you have asked or will ever ask of them, to love those who hate, hurt, and destroy them. May they be reminded by your Spirit that you're with them and will sustain them in their darkest, most painful hour. John chapter 5, the context is the occasion on which the Lord told a sick, ill man who was bedridden to stand up on the Sabbath and carry his bed with him. For this reason, therefore, the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him, because he not only was breaking the Sabbath, but was also calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. Jesus said to them, you have sent messengers to John, and he has testified to the truth about me. But the testimony I receive is not from man, but I say these things so that you may be saved. Lord, we pray that your people will remember the attitude of our Lord as he faced those who actively sought his death, that he kept foremost in his mind not his own personal physical welfare, but his mission in this world, which is to redeem the lost, the unworthy, the ones who hate him. May your persecuted saints be reminded how the Lord Jesus gave his enemies the opportunity to reconsider, gave them once again the invitation to receive him as the saving word sent from God, because he desires even his murderous enemies to come to repentance. Finally, Lord, we ask you to remind your saints of the manner in which our Savior endured his suffering as follows, 1 Peter 2. For you have been called for this purpose, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you would follow in his steps. He who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth, and while being abusively insulted, he did not insult in return. While suffering, he did not threaten, but kept him trusting himself to him who judges righteously. Lord, we pray these things, trusting in you, the ever faithful one. Amen.
I've been asked to pray for these believers to have God's help, to help them consider their suffering in biblical terms, to rejoice in it, remember that it's for a short time, to bear up under sorrows when suffering unjustly, and that it produces endurance resulting in spiritual growth. Lord, we want to lift up the believers in the countries that we have just prayed for. Help them to rejoice in their suffering, remembering that momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen are eternal. Help them, Lord, this day to focus their minds on the things that are eternal. Lord, give them a depth and richness of knowing you that they've never experienced before. Help them to have time in your word or recall verses that they've memorized. Remind these believers that when you do right and suffer for it, you patiently endure it. And it's interesting that one of the verses I chose was the same that Greg just shared. So it's just another reminder that God is really for what we're praying here today. For this finds favor with God. For you have been called for this purpose since Christ also suffered for you, leaving an example for you to follow in his steps, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. And while being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. Help them, Lord, to be men and women who entrust themselves to the Savior. Thank you, Jesus, for your example. Help them to not shrink back from proclaiming your word. Help them to see the fruit of their labors and their perseverance. And we ask, God, that you help them to be wise as serpents and innocent as doves as they conduct their daily lives. Help them, Lord, to just rejoice knowing that all of this will be worth it when they see you face to face. Amen.
I was asked to pray for those on the front lines giving aid and encouragement to the persecuted. So if you would join me in prayer. Lord, we recall in your word in 1 Peter, but if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. To this you were called because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. We pray for those who willingly took up the call to be in the very line of fire, to be in the utmost danger, to give aid to other people, to follow your commands, to feed the hungry, to clothe the naked, to give love to those who had not received it. We think of those in Ukraine giving aid to the ones who are fighting for their country. We think of the people who are in China giving out aid to those who've been hurt by the pandemic. We think of the missionaries sent to hostile countries to spread the word and are in danger at every turn. We pray that you would routinely give them your strength. We ask that you would continue to use them to shine your light, that they would serve as beacons of hope and beacons of your word and your love to those in those countries. We pray that they would continue to give encouragement to those who are persecuted. We pray that you would protect them from harm, that you would protect those they are helping from harm. But we also pray that those who are facing it and those who will face it, that they would recall that they are following Christ's example. We pray that they would be reminded every day that it is of the greatest calling to suffer in your name. We pray that you would continue to give those people courage, that they can wake up every morning and not run away, but run toward the danger. We ask that you would continue these things and that you would ultimately use them as a way of bringing more people into the fold, that you would not make them fear persecution, but that you would use them as examples and continue to provide care to those who require it in this time of need, all across the world. And in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
You can see I'm not walking quite right. I'm not bending my knee. It's like it's locked up. It could be in pain, but it's not. If it were in pain, it would be pretty hard to ignore. I'm not moving it freely like the rest of my body. When one part of my body is in trouble, then my mind is not able to ignore it. It's constantly on my mind, and it's impossible to ignore unless maybe I'm sleeping. And I think that we all agree that believers all over the world belong to one body in Christ, and our body, there are parts of our body that are that's in trouble, might be in pain, not able to move freely. And so let's remember our brothers and sisters and continue praying. God, our hearts go out to those brothers and sisters in your body who are locked up or in pain or in trouble, suffering for the sake of Christ. And today, believers everywhere are remembering those in trouble, and that's good. It's according to your will. As you call us, Lord, in the words of the Apostle Paul, to remember those who are in prison as if we ourselves are there with them, I pray, Lord, that we will not forget them, but will continue remembering these parts of your body, our body, who suffer. I'm reminded that Paul himself was in prison, and even from there, he was praying for his fellow believers who were not in prison. Right now, I'd like to pray what Paul prayed in his letter to the Ephesians. And each of us can direct our prayers to those in our specific country who are suffering. Paul writes that he had heard about the faith of those in Ephesus, and we have heard about the faith of many who are facing persecution. God, we're encouraged to hear of those who willingly suffer for you. We sit here in relative comfort while this part of your body suffers. Help us to remember them frequently. Help us to remember those in our specific country very frequently. Perhaps even every time I open my Bible to the epistle to the Ephesians, I might remember those in prison for your sake, because the Ephesians was written from prison. I pray that you, glorious Father, will give our suffering brothers and sisters the spirit of wisdom so that they may know you better. I pray that we will know you better and understand how deeply you care for your people who are suffering. And I pray, Lord, that you would remind us to also be with them in spirit and in prayer as you are with them, for we know that your promise is to be with us wherever we go. Amen.
I was asked to pray that ministry activities will remain undetected by authorities or others who wish to silence them. So please pray with me. Almighty God, creator of heaven and earth, we worship you this morning. You opened the eyes of many blind people when you walked on this earth, And you also can and do blind the eyes of people who have the ability to physically see. You are the Almighty God who always accomplishes your purposes, and we praise and glorify you for that. By your hand, Elijah was hidden for 2.5 years from the eyes of King Ahab, who sought to kill him. One time you led David to hide in a specific cave, and another time led him around one side of the mountain while King Saul was pursuing him to kill him, and he went around the opposite side. You shut the eyes of all the people in Canaan when 12 men went in to spy out the promised land. You prevented the authorities from looking under the flax on Rahab's roof that hid the two Israelites who came to spy on Jericho. You led Joseph in a dream to take the young child Jesus to Egypt, saving him from a deranged Herod who killed all the male children to destroy the king of the Jews. You led the brothers in Damascus to lower the Apostle Paul down in a basket from the city wall to deliver him from a mob who wanted to kill him. You closed the eyes of border guards so that Brother Andrew could smuggle Bibles to hungry souls behind the Iron Curtain. Again and again, you blinded the eyes of the Nazis so they didn't find the hidden Jews. We ask you to do it again, mighty God. Blind the eyes of authorities. Misinform the informants. Delay the murderous mob. Hide the persecuted church from those who seek to harm them. Lead the steps of your people into paths of deliverance for their good and your glory. But at the same time, we're reminded in our study of Hebrews that you don't always deliver us. And we desire and we bow down before your sovereign will, even in this. We read, and others were tortured, not accepting their release, so they might obtain a better resurrection. Others experienced mockings and scourgings, yes, also chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were tempted. They were put to death with a sword. They went about in sheepskins, being destitute, afflicted, ill-treated, men of whom the world was not worthy, wandering in deserts and mountains and caves and holes in the ground. And all these, having gained approval through their faith, did not receive what was promised, because God had provided something better for us, so that apart from us, they would not be made perfect. You are the sovereign Lord, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness and truth. You promised to walk with your people through the valley of the shadow of death, whether that shadow obscures seeing eyes or not. As Jesus demonstrated at the cross, often the greatest deliverance, the greatest testimony comes through death. May their hearts believe as the three men who stood before the fire and proclaim, our God is able to deliver us, but even if he does not, we will not bow down. Oh God, hold close our persecuted brothers and sisters for the fulfillment of your promise of redemption, your purpose of redemption, and for the glory of your great name. We united together to ask you these things in the precious and powerful name of Jesus. Amen.
For the governing authorities to permit believers to live in peace and to protect them against hostile people. Before I pray that, I just want to, number one, thank all of you all. Prayer is hard work. It's wonderful that you come on Sundays and listen to a message. There's a heightened level of mental and emotional, what can I say, strain or just commitment to really hang with the person who's praying. And I know sometimes it happens with me, my mind drifts or I kind of forget what's this person praying about. And it's hard work to pray. So I want to thank you all for hanging in there and praying along with us. And also want to especially thank those who led us. I know that you all invested time to really prepare well and to lead us well. So thanks to each of you. Let's pray. Lord, your Spirit led the Apostle Paul to pen these words. First of all, then I urge that entreaties, prayers, petitions, and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men for kings and all who are in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Lord, because you desire all men to be saved, you have instructed your people to pray for the governing authorities. We think of all the nations of the world, all these geopolitical lines on these maps of countries, these squiggly lines, and there are authorities that are ruling in each of these entities. But your word says they are as dust on the scales. And they will answer to you someday. We think of Nebuchadnezzar and his kingship. He was humbled by you, and you worked with him and on him and in him in a way that he, at least temporarily, lost his mind. And you so strove with him that you brought him to the point where he would look up to heaven, and instead of crediting himself for his great kingdom, he said, "Now I know that there's a God in heaven to whom must be attributed credit for all the blessings that I have." Lord, how we pray for lost governing authorities, many of whom are so satiated with power. Bring them low, Lord, that they might, as Nebuchadnezzar, lift their eyes to heaven and repent and so order their kingdom in a way that allows your people to freely worship you, to freely go about spreading the good news. In all of these 50 countries that were verbalized in this room this morning, there are powers that are making life really difficult on the Christians. And we pray, oh God, King of Kings, Lord Jesus, we think of all the kings, all these rulers. You're the King of them all. You're the King of Kings, oh King of Kings. Bring about repentance in these governing officials, these leaders, that your people might go about freely preaching the good news that can deliver people from hell and rescue them. Thank you that you've heard our prayer. Thank you that we can minister today as priests and come before you bearing on our shoulders, as it were, the names of specific places and people who live there. Thank you that you hear our prayer. We just want to conclude by saying, Lord, that we know that you heard our prayer not because of who we are or anything we've done or avoided doing. It has nothing to do with our works righteousness track record. And it has everything to do with Jesus and his blood shed for us. In his name, we have prayed each of these prayers. Amen. Okay, some announcements.